You ain't gonna believe this. But you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another glorious installment of Super Podcast on the Super Network at supermarcy.com. I'm your host, Super Marcy, as always, because it wouldn't be super without me. And I have two special guests today. Two guys that have never been on this show before, and one person who's never done a podcast before, so someone's cherry's getting popped, which we know how excited I get with that. But we'll save that for last. We'll introduce our first guest. Some of you may know him because he does his own podcast. He's just started it, the After Midnight podcast. And I'm talking about Mr. Denny Lewis. So how's it going? How are you? Welcome.
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Pretty good. Not too bad. Welcome to the show. Thank you for jumping on.
Thank you for having me on. We were supposed to do this 2 weeks ago, I believe, and we had a little bit of a mix-up with time zones.
Yeah, we were going to get you on the wrestling show, and that did not happen. Got the days wrong, but hopefully...
Someone got the days wrong.
Somebody told me
Thursday, was it a Wednesday night? Thursday night, but Thursday night, their Thursday night was my Wednesday night.
It was all very confusing. I don't know. I'm in Australia, you're in Canada. Who knows? I'm way ahead in the future. You guys are in the past. I don't know.
Hook me up with some lotto ticket numbers. And
I'll try my best. I still haven't managed to get there yet. Congrats on your podcast. It's very entertaining.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's it's quite different, which I like. It talks about all the cool stuff that I grew up enjoying. So, what we say, supernatural sort of stuff, or you can describe it better than me. It's your bloody podcast.
Well, it's called the After Midnight Podcast, as Marcy had brought up earlier. Normally, every week, we talk about two topics. One is chosen by me, the other is chosen by the guest host of the week. And basically, we just delve into the topics of the supernatural, the paranormal, urban legends, conspiracy theories, unsolved mysteries, and as of this week, true crime. So, yeah, that's basically it.
All my favorite things in this world. Well, most of them. That sounds
true crime?
True crime, everything. I love it. Very cool. Your latest episode with Batch was pretty cool, and obviously listeners will recognize Batch as being on the wrestling show whenever he decides to fucking show up.
Yep, we discussed the this case of these scary clowns popping up around the U.S. for the last couple of years. They started popping up in California, and I guess it started off as like friendly pranks because they would post pictures of themselves up on a on social media, and then eventually it just goes on to like New Mexico and Indiana, Florida, and up to Chicago, where like people, witnesses are having strange encounters with these clowns. And our second topic, this will probably interest Mr. Chevalier. We talk about the Cannon Barbie Killers in Canada, otherwise known as Paul Bernardo and Carla Homolka.
Which I found a great, not that it's great, it just sounds wrong. It was a great topic because it's so fucked up.
Well, Batch was my first Canadian guest, so I figured we had to do something Canadian. I thought Batch was going to pick like the murder of Dino Bravo, but he surprised me, and we pulled this one up, so we decided to jump right in.
Awesome. And, yeah, sticking to the Canadian theme, obviously. our other guest, well, my other guest, whatever, the podcast. Guest. See, I'm so awkward and I love it. Yes, Mark, it is your first podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Long time podcast listener, first time podcast guest.
Yeah. And I did not dare say your name because I don't want to mess it up.
Well, I guess I can say it. Mark Chevalier.
There you go. See, it's pronounced, we pronounce things properly on this show.
Don't let other shows confuse you about the pronunciation. That is the correct way.
Yeah. See, the only way things get pronounced wrong on this show is when I do it wrong because I don't know how to say it. I'm not being stupid when I say things. Plus, it's the Australian. It's the whole Australian thing. Wait, what's that? I hear a cherry being popped.
Boop.
You're done. You're no longer a virgin on podcast circuit.
Okay, don't be scared anymore.
There we go. And no, this is not like an Australian versus Canadian podcast, even though that would be amazing.
Oh, by the way, fun fact.
Mark and
I are also in the same city.
Yeah, you're like really close, yet you've never met each other yet.
Yeah,
pretty much. We're not even recording in the same room.
No.
Even though I've been, like, near your neighborhood many times.
I think you were just here about, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And I didn't find out about it. Well, I think I was at work when you're in the neighborhood. I found out about it later on in the day.
Yeah.
Here's what you should do. Mark, dress as a creepy clown and go to Denny's neighborhood. And just go outside his, like, building.
Have you seen Denny? Have you seen Danny?
They probably wouldn't even know my name, so...
Oh, hi, Danny. Oh, hi, Mark. Yay!
I am moving soon, so I will be downtown in a few weeks.
Oh, whereabouts? Not an exact location, but...
Tell us your exact address so people can go stalk you.
It'll be in the... I'm moving to the St. Henry area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll be a few blocks from Atwater Market.
Very nice, actually. That's that area is coming up.
Yeah, lots of fancy restaurants and cool things coming up. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting living there for sure.
Yeah, and it's closer to me, so it's we'll probably have more of a chance bumping into each other with you in St. Henri than in the West Island.
Yeah, exactly.
If you guys don't meet up at some point, it's going to be very disappointing.
I was supposed to meet up with the Batch last year, but, you know, he bailed at the last second.
He always does that. That's why he's called Rye Batch.
Yeah, but Batch still has a job, so that's a good thing.
I don't know. I feel like I should fire him and then rehire him. I don't know. We could just talk about Batch for the podcast. Like, you know, he's always good to talk about. Talk about weird Canadian shit that I don't know about.
Weird Canadian shit?
I don't know.
Talk about our hot prime minister.
Whatever about him. Nah. We can talk about the Canadians. Their season's starting up in about 2 months. Actually, you know, we should talk about that for a bit. Our city was hit with a pretty huge scandal about 2 or 3 weeks ago when the Montreal Canadiens traded P.K. Subban to the Nashville Predators. Rocked the city.
Really? Is that how, like, crazy, like, sport or hockey is? It's like something like that hockey happens and, like, the whole fucking city and shit stops because it's, like, such a scandal.
It's just hockey. Basically, nothing else exists in this city. You know, like, nobody really pays attention to, like, the CFL team or that. It's even, like, during the summer when there's no hockey, people just talk about hockey and they talk about the upcoming season. And so basically, Subban is like was the all-star defenseman here. And, you know, there's some issues this season with him and the team. And he got traded about 2 weeks ago. And the city was a lot of fans in the city were not happy because he had donated about $10 million to the new super hospital in the city. So they named like a wing after him. And a few months later, he's gone.
So if I like visit and I don't know anything, are they just going to kick me out?
If you don't speak French, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. How would I?
You'll go for a metro ticket and they'll be like, no, en français.
Oh, that's a true story, by the way. You'll get that in a lot of metros. The best thing to do is videotape it and put it up on YouTube like a whole bunch of other people have.
All I know is Australian. I don't speak anything else.
They don't give a fuck. They don't care.
See, yeah, and we're all welcoming to everybody unless somebody is really racist and then they'll just kick your ass.
Sounds like Quebec, actually.
And I don't want to say Australia's racist, but yeah, it can be.
Because in Quebec, it's kind of like, well, if you don't, at least with like the hardline francophones, if you don't speak English, then you're not welcome. And even if you don't speak their kind of French, because like you start noticing it in like certain parts of like the city that, because like Montreal North has like a huge influx of Haitians who come here to Quebec because, you know, basically in Haiti, they speak Creole. So it's Creole French. But a lot of Francophones don't consider that real French. So there's kind of like a problem between like Haitians and Quebecois here. And then Quebecois have problems with, Anglophones and all that stuff.
That's so confusing.
Yeah, it gets confusing. Like whenever you're talking to somebody you don't know, you gotta be worried. Am I going to offend them no matter what language I speak? Like this person looks French. I'll try French. And then.
Well, a lot of people they're not very forgiving either, because it's like, sometimes you'll go into a place and you'll probably like forget about it. And like, because I normally speak English everywhere I go, so sometimes I'll forget. I'll go into a store and ask for something, and I'll ask it in English, you know. And if the person, you know, behind the counter says, oh, you know, désolé, je peux parler français or anglais. I don't have no problem. I'll speak French. But as soon as the person starts demanding that I speak French because we're in Quebec, it's kind of like, no, sorry, I don't know how to speak French. Suck my dick. I once had, this is a true story.
Wow. I'm so interested. I'm changing the whole topic of this podcast to talk about this shit. I'm so interested in it, honestly.
This is just like a little side story. I remember one time, it was a couple of years ago, I had a Videotron technician come to my house. Now, Videotron is like one of the major cable providers in Quebec. And, you know, the guy comes in and I welcome him in and I tell him exactly where I want everything. And he tells me, you know, he tells me to speak French because this is Quebec. And I was like, no, we're going to speak English because this is my house. So he was kind of in a position where he had no choice but to speak English. So that's basically it.
It's hilarious. Like when our job I used to work at, there was this guy who came to fix a lock, and he was talking to my supervisor in English. And then he found out my supervisor's last name was Landry, which is a French name. So once he found out he had a French name, his mood totally changed. He was so happy to talk to him and super nice and all that. So it's weird over here.
Wow. That's crazy. I don't know. I so don't get it, like, at all. So weird.
Same. Oh, you have to go back all the way to, like, when the French first settled into the province, because, you know, basically, I guess they were the first ones to come in, and they set up shop here in Montreal. You know, I think that was, like, I think they started, like, the fur trade here, and eventually the English came, and, you know, there was a war, and the English won, so they took over the region and kind of expanded after, but they still had, like, a French stronghold here just in this area and, like, further east up until, like, Gaspésie. And they won't leave.
Wow. And in Australia, we just speak Australian.
Howdy, mate.
Well,
there you go.
Well, you guys are were a penis colony, weren't you?
A penis colony. Founded by penises. Yeah. No, really, founded by, it was a penal colony for convicts. The British just sent all the convicts to Australia.
A penis colony for condoms, yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, penis. So everybody here is a criminal, basically. I don't know.
Toilets flush the other way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You call frogs chazwazas?
Yes. It's not a cane toad. It's a chazwaza. And we
Your
all drink Fosters. Not really.
You rock up to the clubs and that's about it?
Yeah.
Where does that term come from? You rocked up somewhere.
I don't know. I've always been like, I just rocked up somewhere. And it just means I've shown up. I've gone somewhere. I don't
know. So where does the term come from? Because, you know, like a rock doesn't just...
I don't know.
Show up somewhere.
I honestly don't know where most of the slang terms come from. And I don't realize, like, they're slang terms because I just use them all the time. So if I say something and then somebody's like, I don't know what that means, I'll be like, huh? I'm speaking English, what? Oh, wait, no, that's like, okay, yeah. Like, you know, if I'm saying I gotta go to the loo and nobody knows what a loo is, it means it's gotta go to the toilet. I think that's maybe a British thing as well.
I think so.
Or if I'm like, oh, I'll shout you a beer. And they'll be like, why would you shout at my beer? And I'm like, no, I mean, I'm going to buy you a beer. It's on me.
Sounds like insanity.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'm so angry, I'm cracking the shits. And then that will confuse Logan because he'd be like, what's crack? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm really angry. I'm cracking these shits.
That still makes no sense.
There you go. It's Australia. We're backwards, all right? That's how we work. Now that we've gotten all our countryness, we've spoken about where we're from, and it's very interesting. We actually do have a podcast topic that's not about weird shit and language barriers and whatever. And I've been struggling to come up with what I want to call the topic because it's just one of those, I don't know if you say it's a random thing, but I don't think there's not like a name for it. But it's the way I look at it. And hopefully the listeners will understand exactly what I'm talking about. And it's not just in my head. We all have like a connection to movies, which I think is fair enough. Because if we didn't have a connection with movies, why else would we get pissed off when someone disagrees with our opinion of them? But they're not just about watching. We have like that emotional connection with them. And if we're in a certain mood, a certain state of mind, or something's going on, there's always certain movies we turn to that help us get through that, or we're just in the right frame of mind to need to watch something. Does that make any sense to either of you?
You're basically talking about movies that strike an emotional chord.
Basically, yes. See?
I wrote down as mood movies.
There we go. We're on the same wavelength. We know what we're talking about. Basically. So that is our topic of discussion because I find it interesting. I think that we all turn to a different movie for different things. You know, if I need a laugh, I'm sure what I turn to is going to be different than what yous will turn to, but maybe that's a good place to start. Maybe because Denny is so much better at talking than I am, I'll ask him to go with this one to start with. I guess if you need a laugh, what are you going to put on? What's your movie or movies?
Well, if I really need a laugh, one of the first things I usually turn to, it has to be something that a lot of the times I need to have like an emotional connection to the character, and the character has to have something that reminds me of me in there. And one of the first ones that always comes to mind is Superbad. And, it reminds me a lot of like my high school times, just like hanging out with friends and just like bullshitting about everything and anything. So I'll normally like watch it and I'll be like reminded of like certain things that happened in high school and certain things that happened between me and my friends. So, you know, it's, I watch and I have a good laugh. There's like a lot of, I tend to see a lot of myself in that Seth character.
So that's like, because you have that attachment and that's something that you think, oh, it'll cheer you up, excuse me, I guess.
Basically, yeah, it's almost like I'll put it on, and it's like looking back in time at something, and being reminded of, like, good times from, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. Mark, what about you? What's your go-to for, like, I guess, cheer you up, have a laugh, however you want to say it, because you can say it a million
ways.
However
we say it in Canada.
Canada, as our old Prime Minister said, instead of calling the country Canada, he called it Canada. Face palm.
Dumb.
What a fucking dickhead. Anyway.
So anyway, when I need to laugh, I just need to watch pretty much the stupidest thing I can think of. And for me, that movie is Anchorman.
Oh.
Because
yeah.
It's like, I find it so hilarious. And that movie, basically for a year, me and my friends would just speak in Anchorman quotes. Like, if we were upset, we'd be like, I'm in a glass case of emotion. Or something like that, so.
Milk was a bad choice.
Yeah.
It's so hot today. Milk was a bad choice.
You eat the kaboo!
It smells like Bigfoot's dick.
Oh my god. Yes.
And just, like, Will Ferrell's faces in there, like, he's, like, so serious but so stupid. Like, my great Odin's raven! Like, the things he'll say just like, make me laugh so hard.
Well, that's always a good choice, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't like Anchorman, fair enough, but I just don't understand the people that don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Are there people that don't like it?
Yeah, if people don't like the movie, I just don't understand, because it's so good, it's so funny.
But most importantly, what are your thoughts on Anchorman 2?
I haven't watched it.
Oh.
I got through half of it and stopped it.
Why do you think that was? Do you think it was a bad idea to kind of roll with a sequel like 10 years later?
Yeah, I think they waited way too long for it. And I don't know, it just felt weird, like they weren't... it's hard to explain, like I'd have to go back and really watch the whole thing. But... I really can't explain. It's like they had the magic the first time and they just couldn't get it again. You know, it was like a once in a lifetime kind of thing.
I could agree. It came out at the right time. It had the right cast. It's like certain. It's like when you watch like Wedding Crashers. You know, it was perfect for its time, but kind of like when you watch it now, it's kind of like I don't see a movie like this flying like. And in like 2016.
Yeah, like sometimes the movie is just right place, right time, and it just works perfectly. And when you try to do it again in a sequel or whatever, it just is just a mess. And that's what Anchorman 2 was for me. Like it just didn't feel right. I was watching it just like, this is like kind of like Anchorman, but not quite.
And I just never watched it because... It didn't interest me because I just came out along too late, I think. And the closer it got to coming out, the less I was interested in wanting to see it. I guess I'll just talk about mine. Anchorman could definitely be a pick because that is something that I do enjoy watching. It's always a good cheer up. But more recently, the two movies I tend to have gone for is 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street. And it's just purely because they are fucking hilarious. And it doesn't matter how many times I watch them, I'm still laughing. It just feels like it doesn't get old for me. And I just think they did so well because this is an example of them doing a sequel to something that was so good. And the sequel for me is so good, but they didn't wait like forever to do it. And for me, just everything works. If I am just so fucking down and these movies will just pick me right up again. It's so perfect. I don't know if you guys enjoy the movies, if you've seen them.
I've seen them both. I don't really remember the first one all that much. I remember the second one because I did see it in theater and I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I saw them both in theater and I thought they were hilarious. And I love in the second one how they fully knew that they were a sequel and they kept making fun of that. Like,
yeah.
Captain Nick Offerman was always like, well, it worked right the first time, so we're just gonna do the same shit again.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're gonna move across the street to 22 Jump Street.
Yeah. Twenty-two
Jump Street did have like a huge plot hole for me that was kind of hard to overcome, which was it was the fact that Channing Tatum was trying so hard in that football career because like he felt like it was his second chance to prove himself. But, you know, eventually it was going to come out that he was, you know, an undercover cop. So all of those records that he broke while playing football and trying to get drafted would mean nothing after because he was ineligible to play in the first place.
Plot hole, yeah. Schmott holes, come on.
I can't help it if that's what I'm thinking about when I'm watching the movie.
Yeah. I was thinking about Wyatt Russell. Hello, what an attractive, beautiful man, just like his father.
I don't know who that is.
If anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, the beautiful blonde guy in 22 Jump Street is Kurt Russell's son.
Beautiful blonde.
He has the bromance with Channing Tatum in it.
Oh, he's the quarterback.
Yeah, I can't remember his name in it. But yeah, Kurt Russell's son. How beautiful. Whew. Anyway. But yeah, recently those have been like my go-to for that.
Another movie that I always find funny.
Well, there you go.
To go back and watch. It's also another one that strikes a personal chord, and it's Adam Sandler's The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, I love that movie. That's like maybe one of the last good movies he ever did.
You know, growing up in the 80s, it's like a lot of the things were just so, you know, it just took me back like right away. His chauffeur friend, you know, walking around with his Thriller jacket. When we were kids, I have two older brothers, so like in 1984, 85, you know, Thriller was like at the height of everything. Like everybody wanted to be Michael Jackson and shit. So like for that Christmas, my mom and my dad bought my brothers and I like matching Thriller jackets.
Oh my God.
So, and
yes,
my oldest brother, you know, he's about 6 years older than me. So in like 85, he was about, if I was five, he would have been about 11. My aunt had made him a sequin glove, so he would wear that to school and stuff. My mom even bought like one for my father too, but like they didn't have one in his size. So they had to kind of, she had to buy one that was kind of like reversed color. So it was like white and red, white with red trim, but he would never wear it. So eventually, about 10 years later, you know, Goodwill would come to the house every month or so and ask if we had like any, you know, clothes to donate. So my mom was like, sure. And she started cleaning out the closet and she donated that jacket to Goodwill. And then like my father, you know, about a week later, they came back to ask again. So when he was looking through the closet, he saw that jacket was gone. So he asked my mom about it, and she said she had given it to Goodwill, and they had this huge argument. They didn't talk for like 2 weeks over this jacket.
Oh my God.
And this jacket is still such a sore subject because when you bring it up today, my father still gets angry that that jacket was donated.
Wow.
A jacket that he never wore.
He never wore.
He always says he would have.
Eventually.
Just waiting for the right time.
Apparently, yeah. But, you know, Robbie Hart was such a great character, you know. He was, you know, the sensitive singer, you know. You could really kind of buy, like, the romance between him and Julia. I know, like, you know, Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore had, like, such good chemistry in that movie. I don't know why it never really kind of carried on in their other films, because I kind of felt like they were lacking in 50 First Dates and that was that other movie they did, Blended or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Yeah, it just never carried over, but yeah, I would put The Wedding Singer in that category.
Oh, too. Absolutely. I think that's a great one. It's always a good watch. I love 80s music because I grew up with it. And I love listening to all the songs in this movie. Just so many memories. And I think the movie just came around at the right time when it first came out for me that it's something, yeah, I do revisit.
If I remember, I think that came out roughly around the same time. Well, not the same time, but I think it came out about a month or two after Titanic. And, like, I remember, like, I didn't see Titanic until March. And I had gone to see that because, like, my mom kept telling me, go see Titanic. So I was still in high school at the time, so I would be like, oh, I want to go see a movie. So she would give me money. And I'd go with my friends, she's like, what you watch? And I'd be like, I want to go see this. She's like, why didn't you go see Titanic? And I'm like, well, you know, my friends don't want to go see that shit. And, you know, eventually I had to cave in and, you know, she gave me the money. I was like, okay, I'll finally go see it. And it was worth waiting 3 months to go see it.
Mark, do you have any other movies of this description?
Funny stuff. I love watching Major League Baseball movie, the Charlie Sheen, Wesley Snipes, and all that, because huge. Well, the only sport I understand really is baseball, and I find the movies freaking hilarious. Like how you got Dennis Haysbert as like the voodoo guy, so he prays to like Jabu. Get home run, right? So you go fuck yourself.
You've just like destroyed everything about everyone knows about a Canadian going, I only understand baseball.
Well, I'm basically almost an American, the way I think, so.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
I don't know.
And we
probably not.
And we did have a baseball team too. That's we had a baseball team for a long time in this city until 2004. There you go.
Yeah, that broke my heart.
It was it got to the point where it's like general admission seats to go see the Expos was like $7 per ticket, and like that last season they were at the Olympic Stadium, like the security there did not give a fuck about anything, so. Like, they would be sitting down, and, like, I would go with, like, my friend Fred, and he would be, like, he wanted to go out for a cigarette break. So he would ask, like, the security usher, and he's, like, where's the exit to go smoke? And he's, like, oh, just go smoke in the tunnel. He was, like, are you serious? He's, like, yeah, yeah, don't worry about it. Nobody's going to care. And he was right. Nobody cared. Like, we had, like, 30 people, like, in that tunnel just huddled around for a cigarette. And, like, the security guys were just sitting in the stands watching the game.
Yeah, it was sad. Like, you could buy a crappy ticket and then after a couple of innings just walk to the front and sit and nobody would care.
They literally had, like, they would have, like, the promotion of, like, $1 hot dogs. And that last season, I think they probably had $1 hot dogs, like, almost once a week, you know? It used to be, like, once every couple of months, and then it got to the point of, like, once a week. And then it got to the point where they're, like, they didn't care if, like, fans were bringing, like, their own food to the game. They just didn't want you bringing it, like, in a glass bottle. And that was it.
Yeah, I remember those $1 hot dog nights. That was, like, their big deal. Like, $5 ticket and $1 hot dogs.
You would get, like, stuffed on, like, you'd go there with $20 and you'd be like a king.
And they ruined it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they moved to Washington and they never looked back. Now the stadium just sits there and fucking collects dust.
And Mark cries himself to sleep every night.
Every night. The only thing they have there now is monster truck rallies.
And that's about once or twice a year.
Yeah.
So you're there. So being the baseball guy, and that's your other cheer up movie, is Major League. I was going to call it something else then because I'm dumb.
Yeah, Major League. This makes me laugh so much, and all the characters. I mean, you guys have seen it, right? Both of you?
Oh, long time ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty good. I mean, don't bother with the sequels. The second one is basically just a repeat of the first one.
I don't even know if I've seen any of the other ones. It's, again, something I just really don't remember. Just before we move on to a different, I don't know, feeling, whatever, my other, I don't know if it's like I necessarily use it as a cheer-up movie, but it's just a movie I always put on when I'm down. I don't know why, it just brings me back up. And that movie is Ed Wood. So, like, Ed, and then space, and then Wood.
Gimme Transvestites. I need transvestites.
That's exactly right. If anybody doesn't know the movie, it's Tim Burton, Johnny Depp, before it got really crazy and boring, about the real Edward D. Wood Jr., who was known as the worst director of all time, who made the classics Glen or Glenda and Plan 9 from Outer Space. But this movie, it's very fictionalized in a lot of ways, but it focuses on Ed's relationship with Bela Lugosi, who, if people don't know, he was the original Dracula, and he's played by Martin Landau.
Who I believe won an Oscar for that.
Mm. And one of the most weirdest, unconventional casting choices ever. And Edward was known as a transvestite. He wore women's clothing. He's a very eccentric guy that's just played with so much, I guess, heart and emotion by Johnny Depp. And the film focuses on that relationship and then just his passion for films, even though he just did not fucking know a thing he was doing. I've seen it so many times. It could be maybe the movie I've watched the most out of any. It just, I don't know what it is. I just have this just connection to it. And I saw it after I'd really discovered who Ed Wood was. So I was watching Glenn or Glenda, Bride of the Monster, Plan 9 from Outer Space. I fucking can't remember the other ones off the top of my head.
Jailbait.
Yes. Oh my God. And I actually had no idea that this film existed. I'm like, what? There's like a fucking biopic by Tim Burton with Johnny Depp. I have to watch it.
Actually, it was the reverse for me because I remember seeing this film in, I think it came out in 95?
It was 95, 96, yeah.
I remember seeing it when it first came out on video. And I liked it a lot. And it wasn't until like 2 years later when I found out that Ed Wood actually existed. And this was like a true life story, as close to a true life story as you can get. And I was kind of like, whoa.
Sorry, it's 94 movie. I'm getting my dates mixed up because I'm an idiot.
That means that...
Came out in 95. There we go.
Okay.
No, 94, 95, whatever.
Because that means that Ed Wood would have come out the same year as Shawshank, Pulp Fiction, I think that was Forrest Gump, and Lion King came out that year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It probably came out here much later. Who knows? Australia, we didn't get anything on time. I can't even express, I just think this movie just represents like my own love of movies and just love of the eccentric and the crazy, and it means so much to me that anytime I'm down, this is what I know is guaranteed to just make me forget everything. So yeah, there's that.
I still need to watch it, that's why I'm so silent.
Yeah, well, I highly recommend that you do.
I do have one more for the funnies.
And, let us have it. And then if you want, you can take us on another emotion or feeling or whatever. I'll let you go because you're just so well-spoken, Denny.
So this is a movie that came out, I think, probably about... Well, I know it was filmed about 10 years ago and didn't come out until much later. And it is a comedy, and it's one of those comedies where I see a little bit of myself in each of the four male leads. And it's a little movie called Fanboys. Has anybody seen this?
Yes, I have.
I haven't seen it, unfortunately.
Okay, so it's basically...
Star Wars early?
Exactly. Now, this is based, like, loosely based on a true story of, a young man with cancer who just, his last wish was to kind of just see, like, the Phantom Menace. So him and his friends devise a plan to kind of break into Lucasfilms, or to Lucas Ranch to finally see it. But, you know, like, the movie kind of plays, like, up on, like, these four friends who have kind of drifted apart, you know, and they're at different, well, at least one of them has drifted apart from the pack. And, like, they're all kind of, like, in different places in their life, but they're not really moving forward, you know? And it takes it takes all of them to get together and to realize that, you know, one of their friends is, you know, he's about to die. Let's go out and have this one last road trip. And it brings them all back together again. And once they're all back together again in that unit, they finally, you know, it gives them that closure to kind of, like, move forward with their life and, you know, enjoy everything that they do.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. And I think you've described it so much better than I could have. Say that.
Okay, so what next?
I don't know. Do you want to pick one? Because you can just roll with it because you're like, you know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
How about we talk about movies that that we like to watch that takes us back to our childhoods. It gives us that feeling of seeing a certain movie as a kid.
Yeah.
And it fills you with that excitement. And you just kind of, you know, try to chase that dragon after. So, Marcy, let's start with you.
Look, I could say Stand By Me, which is my absolute favorite movie of all time.
Also on my list.
But the thing about that is, and now I grew up with it, I see myself in this movie, I see myself in the main character, Gordy. But it's something I just can't watch all that often anymore because I just get so overly emotional that I cry. And it just, everything that I've been through just comes flooding back. It's just that kind of movie. That's why it's no matter what, it is my favorite. It means the most to me out of anything possibly could. But it's just such an emotional experience. It's not something I can watch all that often. And for anybody listening, if they haven't done so, if you go on supermarcy.com and you look up films that changed my life, I've got a very personal write-up of the movie, which definitely explains my feelings a lot. But aside from that, I would go with, and this is going back to, I guess, baseball, with The Sandlot, because, or as it was known here, they called it The Sandlot Kids. It's another one I grew up with and I watched, like, just on a loop because I was obsessed with it. And watching it as an adult, it just, it brings me back to being a kid. I'm reminded of, like, watching it and all the things I used to do back at the age I was when I discovered the movie. And it's just, aside from being an amazing film and something that in itself is a reflection of, much like Stand By Me is, of looking back on those younger years, it's just, I just think it's just so special that almost kind of gets forgotten about a little bit now. But I think it's just one of those quintessential, like, coming of age movies and just so relatable, like, no matter what, when you're growing up, it's just such a special movie, and that's definitely one that every time I watch it, I feel like I'm, you know, 10 years old again.
It also helps that, you know, like the four main characters are such, you know, great archetypes, because basically you knew someone just like them growing up. Like, everybody knew, like, a Gordy, or everybody knew a Teddy, or everybody, I'm pretty sure everyone knew a fucking Vern. And, you know, and everybody knew that kid came from a broken home, like Chris Chambers and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
You know, it's also one of those movies that's, it's kind of, as a kid, it's kind of escapism, because, you know, as a kid, when you see that, you're like, man, I wish I could just get together with my friends and we could just, you know, leave home and just go on, like, an adventure, and, you know, and eventually you think you'll come back and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, it's stuff that you watch. It's like, man, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
Chopper Sick Balls.
And I just, one of the other things that really hits me specifically with Stand By Me is that when I was at that age that the kids are in the movie, and I had friends, or a specific friend that was so much like that, we were so much like those characters, we used to do things and talk about things, and it just reminds me of, like, all of that. And it's just, sometimes it's hard to think about because there was a lot of, like, bad times that went with it as well.
But as you see, there were bad times for the characters too, because
absolutely,
you know, they pretty much all came from a broken home. You know, because, you know, Chris's father was an alcoholic, you know, and then Gordy's brother had died. So, you know, his father was kind of distant. Teddy's father was just, the fucking mini up in Tokus.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vern was, you know, lost his comb and his pennies.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's just, I mean, that movie just means so much to me as well. But as I said, I think something like The Sandlot, which is a lot lighter, but you still have a lot of similar things with it, and it's definitely, it tackles that age between when you're a kid and heading into being a teenager, and either of those movies can remind me and take me back to being that age. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. I think you guys know really what I'm getting at when I talk about it.
Sure.
since Mark's been quite quiet, why don't you tell us about one of yours that makes you feel like a kid or brings you back to being a kid?
I was thinking about it, and it's really weird, because when I was a kid, I didn't really like movies with kids in them. And
you weren't allowed to watch sci-fi.
Yeah, my dad didn't let me watch sci-fi.
We won't call him the C word either.
Oh, well, I gotta talk to a certain Mr. Law about that. But basically what I watched as a kid were the action movies, so the Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and all that. And I guess those are the ones that bring me back to being a kid, because back then, I guess, I just thought life was simpler. Like, you could solve all your problems by just killing all the bad guys. So I guess, like, I just go back and watch, like Cobra, Commando, Terminator, Die Hard, all those movies. They just bring me back and just make me feel like happier, simpler place. If that makes
sense.
Of
like Arnold just killing the shit out of like 100 people.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I could do that. That's it. And being an adult is right, just killing bad guys.
Okay.
It was so weird, because like one of the movies on my list that kind of fits the same bill, but I have it picked for something else, is Rambo First Blood Part 2. So, you know, when I was a kid, I think that movie was released in like 85. You know, we watched that movie like in 85. So like, I'm a 5-year-old kid at the time. You know, nobody asks any questions if I should be watching this. But not only that, Rambo was so huge, he had gotten his own cartoon show where he was hanging out with kids in the jungle, like taking down bad guys. But they would also sell Rambo toys in stores. So you could go into like, Mark would probably, I don't know, how old are you, Mark?
32.
You probably would remember this. We used to have like a store here in, at least in Montreal, it was called Consumers Distribution.
Yeah, I remember that. You pick it out of a catalog and a guy would go in the back and get it for you.
Yeah, and you'd have to go there and fill out a little form and stuff like that. You could get like Rambo toys, which was like, you know, kind of like a life-size Rambo like knife, his serrated knife. You could get that with like a gun and his red headband, and you could go to school and play with that in the schoolyard, and nobody would bat an eye. Not like in 2016, where if a kid would show up, you know, to school with that, you know, the FBI would be there within like minutes, and he'd probably be like in Guantanamo Bay, and like by the end of the day.
It was a much simpler time, the 80s.
It was. People weren't pussies. You know, so people could watch a Rambo movie and be like, yeah, this is fucking the bomb, and not be like, oh, why is Rambo killing a certain, going to a certain country and killing certain types of people? It's like, well, because it's a movie, he's not fucking killing anybody. You know, get your head out of your ass.
Exactly. Like back then, I just watched anything I wanted, and my parents didn't care.
Your dad cared. You weren't allowed to watch sci-fi. Get it right, Mark.
I was allowed. It's just, you go to the video store, like, what's this Star Wars thing? He'd be like, ah, that's stupid. Don't watch that.
See?
I'm sure he's offended by that right now.
My mom only did that to me with, like, two movies. you know, and she was kind of right with them. Cause like, she told me like when I was seven, you know, you're too young for The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. And like, one weekend, like she had to go to work. So she left some money for my brother to go rent some movies. And I asked him to do it. And he was like, sure, no problem. So he rented it and I was like scared shitless. And then about a month later, I was there with my mom and I was like, I saw like the box cover for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I was like, can we rent that? And she's like, no, you're not going to like it. And I was like, well, why not? She's like, you're just not going to like it. Trust me. So I was like, can we, I begged her and she's like, okay. We rented it and I brought it home and I was kind of like, what the hell is this? And my mom was like, I told you, you're not going to like it.
This one, like, my dad, we would go to the video store and rent all the Friday the 13th movies. And you're like, yeah, these are cool. But, like, now you look at it and it's like, wait, there's, like, naked chicks and, like, rap and killing?
Yeah, but Star Wars, no way.
But Star Wars, no.
No.
At least it wasn't Star Trek. That he hated even more.
See?
But that's the thing. Like, nobody would bat an eye at this shit. You could rent, like a Friday the 13th movie where you'd see, like, two teenagers fucking, and it was like, well, you know, it's a movie, whatever.
Yeah, see, my upbringing, my dad was so strict. I wasn't allowed. I was banned from watching The Simpsons at one point. I used to have to sneak to my cousin's house to watch all the movies I wasn't allowed to watch, where it was all, you know, like the action movies, the horror movies. And like, if something, like, my dad was so strict with the rating system, like, I think it was like when Waterworld came out and I was like, I really want to see it. And I think it was like 10 or 11 or something. And he's, no, it was 10. And he's like, no, I don't know if you should be seeing. I'm like, come on, you're gonna take me to see it. So I had to like beg him and all this shit. And then he finally took me to see it. And I was like, well, that really wasn't a great movie anyway. But it was like, you know, but then like he would call things like, and rightfully so, because it's really stupid, like Street Fighter, when he caught me watching it, it was out for a while. I was like, wow, this is so stupid. You shouldn't be watching this. I'm like, but it's so cool. And then you look at it now going, no, he was right. It was really stupid.
I knew that by the time, I think Street Fighter also came out in like 94.
Yeah.
By the time I was 14 and I was like, yeah, this movie's stupid.
Yeah. And I remember, like, I think Interview with the Vampire was on TV and I like snuck in my room to watch it because I had TV in my room. He caught me halfway through and he just cracked the shits, as we say. He got angry. I was banned from the TV for like a week.
We never had. Here's the weird thing. When you grow up like in the 80s with stuff like that, it wasn't until like I was a teenager that I found out there was actual like ratings to movies. You know, and it was kind of like, I went to go see a movie with friends. Oh, I think it was Private Parts with, you know, Howard Stern's Private Parts. Mm-hmm. And I actually got carded for that. And I was like, what is this? And it's kind of like, well, you know, you're underage. You shouldn't be seeing this movie. And I was like, I've never had this problem before. I rent movies all the time. It's kind of like, well, you know, you're in a movie theater now, son. You got to follow the rules.
Yeah. I remember like using specific ID to get into movies that I wasn't allowed to get into.
Yeah, I remember that. I got really pissed off that my dad wanted to take us to see Eraser. And it was rated 16 plus, and I think I was like 15 at the time, and it wouldn't let me in. And we got so pissed off. He's like, what is this shit? Like, I want to bring my kids to see Eraser. But we saw The Rock instead, so it wasn't a bad
It was probably a better choice anyway.
Eraser's not the right... Eraser was with Vanessa Williams, right?
Yeah. Where he's got the, rail guns at the end.
I remember that. That was pretty good. That was good. It was a good show.
Probably the last Arnold movie, really.
Yeah, after that, it was downhill.
I like that. And what was that movie? There was a movie that got banned for a bit, like after 9/11. I think it was called...
Collateral Damage,
yeah. That was actually pretty good.
That's not bad. I have a soft spot for End of Days for some reason.
No, I remember seeing that and just sitting there with my dad going, this is so shit.
I don't know, Arnold versus Satan, I'm like, just awesome.
Yeah.
You knew it had to go there at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't keep killing Mexicans and all that all the time.
True. We've sort of got off track, but hey, we are talking about, I guess, growing up. So, Mark, you're like, with all the action movies that bring you back to your childhood, Danny, what about, don't even think you mentioned much of anything yet for that topic.
Well, two movies come to mind, and they're very similar to each other. And the first one is Star Wars A New Hope.
Which Mark can't relate to because he wasn't allowed to watch it because it's stupid.
What's a Star Wars?
Well, here's the thing. When I was a kid, I wasn't even aware of Star Wars because I was born in 80. So by the time I was like old enough to kind of like remember things, that's when like Return of the Jedi had come out. So to me, Return of the Jedi was the original Star Wars movie until I found out there was an actual first one. And I remember the first time I saw it, I was just kind of like blown away. And it was like something that just changed my life forever. And the second one on my list is almost in the same vein, but it wouldn't come out to like almost 30 years later. And it was Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, and that was basically, yeah,
that was basically Star Wars for a new generation. They had done Star Wars better than Star Wars had done Star Wars in the prequels.
Pretty much everything did Star Wars better than Star Wars in the prequels.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, you find a character to attach to, you know, as a young kid, you gravitate towards Luke, you know, and, you know, you follow Luke on that hero's journey. And, you know, you meet the old wizard like Obi-Wan, and as soon as you meet him, you want to look, you're looking for somebody like that in your life. I remember like being a kid, I was like, I need to find someone like an Obi-Wan. And to me, it wasn't somebody with magical powers. I was thinking, I need to find somebody old, you know, somebody with like white hair. So it's kind of like, you know, just like an old person. And I needed somebody. I was like, I wanted to find like a Han Solo and a Chewie and stuff like that, you know, and I wanted to go out on these adventures. And it wasn't until like almost 30 years later when you're watching Guardians of the Galaxy and you're like, man, Peter Quill is such a cool character. You want to be just like this guy and you want to go on his little, you want to go on his ship and you just want to, you know, cruise the galaxy and fuck bitches. And, you know, hunt for treasure and, you know, meet up with, like, these crazy characters and get into these crazy situations. And, you know, I remember, like, by the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, I was, like, a little kid. I wanted to see that movie again, like, right away. And I went to go see it again, like, 2 days later.
Yeah, I can relate to that because I felt almost the same way, except I wanted to be Rocket Raccoon. Because I relate to being a crazy raccoon.
I wanted to be Groot.
And what was that?
I wanted to be Groot.
Groot. Nobody wants to be Drax, though, that's for sure.
Well, I don't know. Does anyone actually want to be Dave Bautista?
Not really, though.
No. There you go. I was going to bring up another... So it's that awkward moment in the podcast where I fucking just forget my words. And I know we've talked about like things that can transport us back to being a kid or makes us feel like a kid. Movies that cheer us up that we watch, like, to get us in a good mood, but there's also movies that when I'm just feeling down, I want to watch something, well, not necessarily I'm feeling down, but just something that kind of matches my mood of, like, just not being in the greatest headspace. Do you guys sort of understand what I mean with that kind of thing?
Are you looking for something to pick you up when you're watching this, or just kind of like...
Something that, like, if I'm in, not necessarily a bad mood, but maybe I'm still, like, kind of not in the greatest, like, headspace kind of thing. And I just need to watch something that will mess me up a little bit, but ultimately it can make me feel a little better, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
I have nothing like that. I normally, if I'm in that kind of headspace, I'm looking for something to kind of inspire me to get out of it.
Well, I guess, I don't know, like, in your, what, it's not necessarily like, I guess if I'm in a funk, I'm trying to explain it in a way that makes sense. Like, if I'm in a funk, I don't know what's what. I just need something that's going to be there. And I guess that the movie that I go to would be Shawshank Redemption. Again, something I can just watch anytime. But when I'm kind of just in a weird funk, I might be down. Like, it's a movie that just, it will make me cry. It'll make me feel a bit of everything. But ultimately, at the end, I'm not feeling so bad. And it's almost like if Andy can get through 20 years of prison, wrongfully convicted in prison, like, I'm sure I can get through this bad day. That's ultimately where I'm trying to go with that. And I said ultimately, and I dedicate that to Logan. Anyway.
Well, that's basically what I mean, because Shawshank Redemption is on my list. And basically, you know, when I'm in that kind of funk, it's a movie that I'd like to throw on, because at the end you're kind of inspired for that reason, you know. Mm. Andy Dufresne, you know, he crawled through 500 yards of shit and came out clean on the other side.
Mm.
You know, this you're following 20 years of this guy's life of just being mistreated, or being, you know, convicted on, you know, wrongfully convicted, you know, and for 20 years is in prison, and just when you think he's about to break, you know, he's gone. And just getting to that point where it's like, you know, I still remember, like, the first time I watched it, and, like, and you're getting towards the end, and they're it's becoming so heavy to the point where you think Andy's going to, like, kill himself in his cell that night. And, you know, I never even, like, knew when I first watched it when I was, like, 14 that, like, it was based on a book. So I didn't know, you know, Andy was going to, there was going to be a prison break that night. So when the next scene comes on and he's disappeared from his cell, it's kind of like this huge revelation. And then you get to see, like,
the planning and...
Well, yeah, well, basically he had to go through 20 years of hell.
Yeah.
But then he had to go through even worse hell before he got out on the other side, you know? And then how everything came together.
Yeah.
And it's like, this was something that he... You know, once they start putting the pieces together at the end, it's like, this is something that, you know, he's been planning for years and years on end. So, you know, it's you're glad that, you know, a good guy like Andy eventually, you know, was able to break free of that life.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to explain, like, that feeling or the place that I'm in, but the movie just... It just makes me feel a bit of everything. And I guess what I love too about Shawshank is that with Stand By Me, they're both based on novellas by Stephen King, and they're actually in the same book. And I love, that's like my favorite book. And but like those two movies just bring out so much in me as well, but it's just one of those things where I kind of feel like I need to feel all these different things, and it's a movie that will make me feel all those different things. But if I'm in that mood where I hate life, I hate myself, I will watch something that kind of just reflects that in a way, something that's incredibly depressing. But I guess with Shawshank, it's got that silver lining that kind of gives you hope as well. There we go.
Watch it.
What?
I still need to watch it. I haven't seen Shawshank.
Oh my god. What is wrong with you?
We kind of spoiled the ending for you then.
Oh no, Family Guy did that for me first, so.
Well, another movie like that that kind of fits the bill is Good Will Hunting.
Mm.
And, you know, have you seen it at least, Mark?
I have seen Good Will Hunting.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. You know, you just feel bad for Will Hunting throughout the whole movie because, he came, another character, you know, came from a broken home, you know, broken foster homes where he's treated like crap by, you know, either the state or the foster parents, whoever's taking care of him, you know, just relegated to a life of, you know, monotony with his friends, you know, and just sort of working at a shit job. But he's just got so much potential. And the fact that he's like afraid to even use that potential, you know, it's kind of like heartbreaking until he gets that pep talk from Ben Affleck, you know, where it's kind of like, you know, like he said, you're sitting on this wooden lottery ticket. And if you don't cash it in, that's, you're just wasting your life. You know, and it's, you know, eventually gets to a point where Will Hunting has everything, like he has everything he needs to lay before him to make a good life for himself, to get away from the life he had. You know, and it's good to see at the end when he finally makes that decision, you know, to go chase after Skyler and to take that job that he was offered, you know, and to just, you know, leave that life, you know, and it's also feel good at the end when, you know, when Ben Affleck goes to the house, you know, and he knocks on the door and he waits there, you know, and there's no answer. And he just stops. I mean, he gets that little smirk on his face because he knows that, you know, he finally got through to his friend. His friend's going to finally make something with his life, you know. And you get that sense that by doing that, it's also like redemption for his friends, you know, because he doesn't have to live the life that they're going to have to leave because they don't have the gifts that he does. And it's their redemption too, because at least they know that one of them was able to make it out.
Yeah. It's a good, blah. You always get tongue tied. It's a good example of like what I was trying to say with Shawshank. And it is a really good one to put on for that. I don't know, Mark, if you have any feelings on this subject or not, because you're a little quiet again.
So I got a couple, but they're not quite that. I got one for motivating me.
We'll hit us.
Another one for when you just got to, like, let it all out.
Okay.
So which one should I go with first?
Let it all out.
Okay. So, you know, once in a while, you got to have a good cry. I don't like to admit it, but... And when you got like all these, you have a rough time, you're all built up inside, you know, you just gotta have a quiet room and like, leave me alone for a couple hours. So since I love 80s and cheesiness, my movie to cry to is An Officer and a Gentleman. I know that's, I don't know why that movie just.
That's what I'd refer to as a vagina movie, meaning it's such a like womanly, stereotypically womanly movie.
I completely agree, but I don't know why it works for me. I think every guy's allowed one of those movies.
Oh, everyone can. I mean, honestly, people can watch whatever they want. It's just me being stupid.
But I don't know, like the whole thing about like, you know, Richard. I guess it's kind of like. You're at Google Hunting, Denny. It's like Richard Gere is this guy who comes from, you know, a bad home. He's trying to make something of himself. And, you know, he doesn't always believe he can be all that, but he gets like a mentor who, you know, he works with and he makes something of himself. He becomes an officer and a gentleman by the end of it.
Are you going to cry just thinking about it right now?
I might.
Yeah.
A little bit. The ending just gets me every time. I don't know why.
This is actually a movie I have never seen, so I might have to actually check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Like, who knows? Maybe you'll think it's cheesy and as hell and really stupid, but I don't know why. It's
actually an interesting one to rewatch because you hear so much. It's one of those infamous movies where certain scenes you always will see parodied or something, but it's so much different when you actually watch it. It's not what you expect. Because I remember my mum was like, you know, she loves Richard Gere so much. And she's like, oh, we should watch this one. And I'm watching it going, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn, he was pretty sexy back then. Just putting that out there too.
Okay, so now time to redeem myself. My motivation movie are the Rocky movies.
I think
Rocky.
Everyone can kind of say that too.
Yeah.
I got Rocky and Rocky Balboa on my list.
Mm.
It's pretty much all of them. Like, I find each one of them has something in there that I can use to get myself motivated. Like Rocky III, whenever you feel down and out, like after Mickey dies, you know, Rocky's all doesn't know what to do with his life. He doesn't, and all that. And I don't know, that movie helps motivate me when, you know, you're just a little bit lost in life and need to find a way. Or, you know, Rocky IV just motivates me to work out.
It's
yeah.
Those montages.
Those montages, yes. Like
it is the montages. Yeah.
I almost yelled out Drago while doing a lift.
Were you lifting some boulders in a big sack?
Yeah, I went all the way to Russia and like lifted up the boulders in a sack and got people in a cart and lifted it.
Oh, Russia or Montreal in February, you know, take your pick.
Yeah, it's probably colder here. And 1 and 2, you know, they're just good movies about a guy, again, who wasn't much and became something, you know, because he tried hard and worked hard and achieved something in life.
And that's what I love, too, about the first movie. I actually went to see the first movie again, like, a few weeks ago. They were playing it here in Montreal for a night. You know, and it's like, Stallone is just so good in that movie. He's so underrated. It's like, here's a guy who came from nothing, and he doesn't really want much out of life, you know, because, like, all he really wants is Adrian, and Adrian's just like a little mousy girl, you know, nobody would pay her any attention, you know. He lives in, like, this little shitty place. And that scene at the beginning of the movie when he comes home, you know, and he's just looking at all the crap around his apartment, and he just starts looking at the picture of himself as a child, you know. And it's kind of like, you know, he's looking at what he could have become, you know. Like, you're looking at a picture of a young Stallone, and it's like you see the potential. There's so much, like, innocent potential there. And it's just all wasted away, you know. And that scene with him and Mickey, where Mickey, you know, finally comes to his house to, like, ask him to train him, you know, and, like, he just gives that tour de force. He's like, you know, like, what, my house doesn't stink? Yeah, my house stinks. And they, you know, it's just Rocky just letting all that, you know, built-up angst in him out, you know. And he just starts working hard, and nobody believes in him, but he goes the distance. You know, and, you know, even though he doesn't win at the end, he's still better for it at the end of the movie. And it's the same thing with Rocky Balboa, except, you know, in Rocky Balboa, now he's older, you know, and, you know, he's in the twilight of his life, you know, and he doesn't have Adrian anymore because she's gone. And his son, you know, his son is kind of estranged from him because he feels like he's living in his shadow, and he just owns, like, this little restaurant, and basically all he has is Polly, you know. And when he gives that speech to his son in the street, you know, that was, like, that has to be, like, one of the greatest speeches ever taught on, like, film, you know.
Oh, yeah, I love that speech. Like, I tell it to myself all the time. When...
Yeah.
That's how winning is done.
Yeah. Mm. Like, I just find each one of those movies just has something in it you can use. Like, even the cheesy ones, like 3 and 4, like, it's just, I don't know, there's something so emotional about them.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, Rocky's just like an everyman. That's it. Even when he was a millionaire, he was still like a blue collar guy.
Yeah, like even like the latest, and like in Creed, like he's just in the street, like, "Hey, Rocky," is like, "Hey, how you doing?"
And you know, he's like personal with everybody. Even like, you know, when he's like, when he meets his boss's, like his son's boss, and like Balboa, and he's like, "Oh, how you doing?" Or even in Balboa, when he finally, when he gets into the ring and he goes up to the ring announcer, he's like, "How you doing?" You know, and like the guy's like, "Oh shit, Rocky Balboa just asked me how I'm doing."
Yeah, like that's how I would react if Rocky said that to me.
I think those movies are just so relatable, like on so many levels to just everybody. And yeah, absolutely, just full of motivation.
Yeah, like, and Rocky ended the Cold War, so if he could do something like that, I can.
Well,
do...
exactly. You can fucking do an hour workout at CrossFit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he even ended brain damage too in Rocky V. So
it's true, he got better.
He got magically. You know, the scientists have been trying to cure that for years. You know, Rocky did it in like a span of 2 movies.
Yeah. Like, oh well, I guess your brain damage went away, so yeah, you can box. Even though you're like 65 now. I will be honest, when I saw Rocky Balboa in theaters, like the part where Rocky starts making a comeback, like I almost got up my seat and like cheered. I was so happy.
Oh yeah, especially when Mason Dixon broke his hand.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, he's got a chance now.
It, the thing is, you do that with all the movies, because, you know, like, I went to go see Creed with a friend of mine, and towards the end, you know, we had, like, kind of, like, jumped out of our seats, like, yeah, you know, fucking kick his ass. And
yeah, exactly. You know, like, some of those movies, they just make you, they get you into it so much, like, and, like, and Creed, even though Creed is not a movie about Rocky, Rocky's still an important part of it.
Mm.
And but it just shows him trying to get through something else in life, you know?
But Rocky does give that rub to, you know, to Adonis Johnson Creed, where it's like, you know, I think it's tough to say, because, like, would Creed still be a good movie if they didn't have Rocky in there with them?
I think you needed it, because it just adds so much more.
Could be. Well, I was worried it was going to be a bad movie even with Rocky in it. Like, I thought it was going to be one of those
It was such a fucking fantastic movie.
Yeah, it
really was. Like, after I watched it, I'm like, I'm going to fucking become a boxer. I don't care what any of you say.
I guess you could say another movie kind of like that is, at least it's got such a heavy emotional weight to it, is Warrior. With Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton.
I love Warrior also.
That's a fucking good movie.
This is a movie, because I remember like seeing the trailer for it, and I was like, an MMA movie, is that really going to work? You know, because I remember seeing in the commercial for the trailers, like, they're showing like the fights in it, and you see Kurt Angle in, you know, in like one of the trailers doing a powerbomb, and it's like, no, this is not an MMA movie. This is bullshit. Come on, you know. And then when you sit down to watch it, and like the story of just like these two brothers, you know, just like their alcoholic father alone, and then like these two brothers that nobody even knows are brothers, just, you know, vying, you know, for this. What was the prize? It was like $1 million?
Something like that, yeah. And like this crazy tournament, like
the crazy 2-day tournament, and like something that's probably would never happen, but like, you know, they're both vying for it because they're both trying to make a better life, you know, like Joel Edgerton's trying to make a better life for his wife and their daughters, you know, so they don't have to work like 3 jobs each, you know, and Tommy, his name was Tommy. You know, he's just trying to fulfill a promise to someone he knew while he was stationed
there. His war buddies got killed and said to take care of
exactly.
First.
Exactly. So, like, it gets to the point towards the end where it's like you don't even know who to root for. And, you know, and at the end, once the decision goes and you see, like, Nick Nolte there, and he's seeing his two sons do this, and he comes to the conclusion that the only way that these two guys are ever going to find peace with each other is if he's out of the equation, you know? And it's like, it's such a heartbreaking, like, realization for him to come to, but you kind of get that it's like, you know, this guy was such a cancer on their lives all that time. The only way these two are ever going to move past that is if he's not in the picture anymore.
Yeah, and like it struck me too, because like I have a brother and we don't have the greatest relationship either, so I guess for me that's another reason this movie, like, you know, felt like I had a strong feelings for it because of that, you know. And like you said, by the end you don't know who to root for. Like, you root kind of for Joel Edgerton, but at the same time you just want to get them to, you know, be brothers again, you know?
Exactly. You want them to move past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys have any other, like you said, you had your crying and motivational ones. Were there anything else you had written down at all? Anybody?
Well, I have one that kind of reminds me of a certain point in my life, and it's not exactly a tearjerker, it's actually a comedy, but
okay.
It reminds me of like a certain point in my life, and it's Clerks 2. And when this movie came out, you know, it's, you know, I enjoyed Clerks 1 very much, you know, I loved it, and when I heard they were making a sequel, I was going to be like, man, that's going to be kind of tough to do. But they did it in such a way, I didn't expect them to do it in a way that it would affect me on an emotional level, where these two guys are in a point where they're in their life where they're unhappy with where they are, you know, and Dante is coming to the conclusion, well, I'm just going to get married to this girl here. So I could just get a job somewhere else and kind of like carry on with my life, but it's not going to make him any happier, you know? And in the process, he's going to be leaving his friend behind, you know? And it kind of speaks to you. It spoke to me in a way, because like at that point in my life, I wasn't happy with where I was working. I wasn't happy with the relationship I was in, you know? And it kind of, when you're watching it and you know, like, and Randall kind of gives him that pep talk at the end for what Dante needs to do with his life. It's kind of like, you know what? Yeah, we should probably, you know, start moving forward with something. And it doesn't have to be something that's going to make you happy or rich, but it does. It probably should be something practical for you to kind of like, you know, better your situation in life. And yeah, that it affected me that way.
Yeah, like, it's kind of a movie about, like, when you get older, like, how much of you changes and how much of you stays the same guy you were back then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like you just wonder, like, if your friends are still your friends, you know?
Well, that's the thing. You know they're still your friends, but at the same point, they're growing too, and they're going to have to eventually, you know, kind of move on to their own things. Because, like, at least for myself, I'm at an age, I'm like 36, where, you know, most of my friends now are already, you know, married with kids and stuff like that, or just married and all that stuff like that. So, you know, eventually they're not going to be around as often as they were, because now they're going to have other responsibilities that they have to take care of, with children and their wives and, you know, mortgages and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a tough pill to swallow, but it's something that I really needed at the time to see, to kind of just shake me out of my rut and kind of like move my life in a different direction.
Yeah, because it kind of tells you, like, they're still going to be around. It's just going to be a little different. But doesn't mean your friends have to disappear in life, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, like there's always a way. Like I got friends who are moved away. Like one of my friends is in Europe, but I still talk to him regularly, you know?
And another movie that kind of fills this, that kind of follows the same. It could go into a couple of categories because I'm one of those guys that I enjoy the romantic aspect of movies. And this one kind of spoke at least volumes to me at the time with the person I was seeing, and it was Spider-Man 2. And it had nothing to do with, you know, like the Spider-Man, but my favorite thing about this movie was the relationship between Peter and Mary Jane. You know, I couldn't buy Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst in Spider-Man 1, and I didn't buy him in Spider-Man 3. But for some reason, in Spider-Man 2, they got everything right to the point where it's like, you know, at the end of Spider-Man 1, I didn't really care if they got together. And at the end of Spider-Man 3, I didn't really care if they stayed together. But Spider-Man 2, I wanted to see those two together at the end. And I could understand Peter's hesitance to kind of keep himself away from her. Because I was in a bit of a complicated relationship at the time. And you know, when you're watching that movie, you know, sometimes it's just a little thing like that that could just kind of pop out. And it's almost like a slap to the face at some point. And it's like, whoa, you know. And it comes from, like, sometimes the least, you know, where you least expect. Because you wouldn't expect to find something like that in, like, a superhero movie.
Yeah. Which I think is fair enough. Sorry, I've been really quiet just enjoying the conversation. I had a few more. Not too many. Just in general, I guess maybe going back to needing a pick-me-up or just something I can watch anytime because no matter what I'm feeling, I know I'm just going to forget my troubles and just enjoy the shit out of it. And it would be the classic Van Damme movies like Bloodsport, Kickboxer, No Retreat, No Surrender, just all of that stuff. Like you put on a Van Damme, I am just... That's me. I'm at home. Everything is just right in the world. I can forget everything and I can just feel like a whole person again. That's a big thing. Like I will watch Van Damme like quite often. I'm all about the Van Damme. He's going to be in town soon and I can't wait to go see him. It's going to be amazing. I might cry and just pass out. I don't know. But my movie, I guess, that really just breaks me down when I need to cry. If I need to cry or I'm just feeling that down, I just need more of it just to soak up in it, I will watch The Elephant Man. And that movie just destroys me every time I watch it. And on some weird level, I guess, I kind of identify with that character because I'd always felt like the outcast from people, just growing up, like never having anything in common with anyone. Cause I was like the nerdy kid, the geeky kid when all this stuff was absolutely not cool. And just always being mocked for how I looked and this and that. And obviously to his extent, but on some level, there's like that relatability to that. And then, you know, he's just this gentle soul and he's gone through so much and his longing to just want to be like everyone else. I mean, it kills me. That movie just really kills me. I've probably seen it way more times than a normal person really should. But when I need my soul just to be destroyed, that's what I put on. And I think that kind of rounds out what I had written down. I also had, like, what I turn to if it's a really bad night, I can't get to sleep, which is pretty much almost every night for me. But if the insomnia is at this point, it's really bad and I know I'm just not going to get to sleep at all, I probably turn again to Ed Wood or RoboCop, and I don't know what it is about RoboCop. It's good for the soul, apparently. So, yeah.
RoboCop is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I used to watch it on TV during the middle of the day back when I was a kid.
Yeah, I didn't really get to see it till I was older. But it's just, I don't know what it is. It's just like, soothe me at night, I'll put on some RoboCop. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
For years, I only saw that movie in French.
Why is that funny? I don't know.
La Ronce Baudiguerre.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys wanted to finish off, if you had any more listed for anything.
Well, I did have like a couple of more, but there's really only one that I want to talk about, and that's there was a little movie last year. I guess it came out, I wouldn't say it came out at the right time, but like I remember the first time I had seen it, I was just like on cloud nine, like basically almost like I did describing another movie from when I was a kid. And then I saw it again 2 days later and I still felt the same way. Unfortunately, the next day was the day that my dog passed away.
No.
And it just like brought me down. And every time I was just feeling down over like the next couple of months, like just missing my dog, I would go and pay to go see this movie again and again and again and again, just to kind of like bring me back into that spot of like awe and wonder, just looking at the screen and getting wrapped up with these characters. And it was Star Wars, The Force Awakens, you know. The first time I saw it, it was so good to be back in that universe again, you know, and to see some of those characters again and see those familiar places, you know. And Star Wars is normally a movie I would watch like on my birthday, you know, and for the last 7 years, it was a movie like on my birthday I would watch with my dog. So she would sit on the couch with me and we would watch the movie and stuff. Well, she would be sleeping, I would be watching the movie and stuff like that. So, you know, when you're not expecting certain things, you're thinking when this movie comes out on DVD, it'll probably be out on DVD by, like, my birthday. So, you know, I'll get to watch this movie with my dog. And I never got that chance to, you know. So every time I went to go, like, if I was at work and I just felt down, you know, because for those first couple of months, you know, you just think about these things. So I would just go on my phone, order the ticket, print it out, and then just go directly after work. Or sometimes I would just be at home and like I didn't want to be here anymore, so I just buy a ticket online and go directly there and watch it, you know. And it was basically it. It was a movie that, you know, helped me through a pretty pretty hard time in my life, and I'm thankful it was there at least, you know.
I'm not crying. You're crying. yeah, I can understand that pretty well. Having lost quite a few pets in the last year, and I know the importance of finding something that you can escape to, especially for that. So this is where like all these movies, would come into play. And probably especially just like the Van Dammes, because for me, that's just like the ultimate, I guess, escapism from life is just putting a Van Damme movie on. And I just, it's just like, I don't have to feel or think anything. I can just, it's just there for me. But yeah. Mark, did you have any last ones to mention?
Got one last one I want to mention. It's a movie to watch when you're not in, let's say you've either been drinking too much or have something else and you're in a weird state of mind and just want to see something weird and make you think a lot. And I think Inception is a great movie for that. Like, I remember seeing this movie in theaters under the influence with a buddy of mine, and it, like, just blew our brains out. Like, we were just like, whoa, this is so crazy. It's like a dream in a dream within a taco. And I don't know. I still think it's pretty good when you're sober, but when you're on something, it's just a fantastic movie to watch.
Yeah, it's I enjoy watching it, I've got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, if you've got some substance in you, it can make the experience a little more interesting.
It really does.
But I think that'll wrap up our podcast with our very emotional discussions and some interesting talk about where you guys are. Always an added bonus to find out more about the world at large, I guess. But thank you guys so much for taking the time out to jump on the Super Podcast.
Thank you.
Absolutely welcome back anytime. And we'll probably have to try to get you on the wrestling show at some point, because you both actually do watch wrestling, so it's awesome. It's always an extra bonus in my book. And just for our listeners, I'll let you know where you can find me, which is usually just being stupid. Not really. As usual, you can find us at supermarcy.com. You can look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/thesupernetwork. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/supermarcy. Guess you can just look up my personal account on Facebook if you want, under my real, well, not my real name, but under Marcy Papandrea, or Super Marcy something rather there. And I don't know where else you can find me, probably those places. Denny, run us over where people can look you up.
Well, you could find us on the Facebook. You can like my page, the After Midnight Podcast. We normally keep people afloat on what'll be coming down the pike with guests, and normally about a day or two before we post which topics we'll be discussing, so whoever's interested in listening can at least watch what we're going to talk about before we talk about it. You can reach us on Facebook, on Twitter, at After Midnight Pod. What is it? At After Midnight 66. And you can also send an email at aftermidnightpod@gmail.com. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, and you can still find us on shoutengine.com. And if you want to reach me personally on Facebook, go fuck yourself.
Mark, do you have any places people can find you if you want to be found, that is?
If I want to be found, yeah, they can find me. They can look for my name on Facebook. I got an Instagram. It's disco162. And if you really want to read my blog, it's marksachievements@blogspot.ca. That's Mark with a C, the French way.
Mark. Sorry. There we have it. Thank you, listeners. We'll be back at some point with some other cool stuff. Lots of things in the planning stage, but who knows when they will happen. This is the most unprofessional podcast you will find. That's why we're awesome and super. Until next time, I've been Australian, they've been Canadian, and we'll see you later.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fart and curse.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
For their beady little eyes and flapping heads so full of lies.
Blame Canada.
Had my picture on his shelf, but now when I see him, he tells me to fuck myself.
Well, blame Canada!
Blame Canada!
It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along.
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
They're not even a real country anyway.
My son could have been a doctor or a lawyer, rich or true. Instead, he burned a plaque of piggy on a barbecue.
Should we blame the matches?
Should we blame the fire?
Or the doctors who allowed it to explode?